Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce, and this is City Views. Friends remember LeConte Stewart setting up an easel and paints in his neighbor's driveway and capturing the lonely barns and the wide open spaces of Kaysville on his canvas. One of Utah's major talents, Stewart reveled in creating impressionist-influenced landscapes and depicting structures in rural isolation. And today on the program, we're discussing a new book that explores Stewart's unique brand of Depression-era art and his legacy as an art teacher. And the book is titled LeConte Stewart Masterworks. Joining me in studio is Dr. Donna Poulton. She is the curator of the Art of Utah and the West at the Utah Museum of Fine Arts. She's also one of the co-authors of the book. And Donna, great to have you here. Thanks so much for the time.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Also in studio, Dr. James Poulton. He's a psychologist in private practice here in Salt Lake City. And he is also one of the co-authors of the book. And Jim, welcome to you.
Thanks. Nice to be here.
Also with us on the phone, Dr. Vern Swanson, director of the Springville Museum of Art. And he's joining us by phone from his home in Springville. And Dr. Swanson, welcome to you.
Thank you very much. Glad to be with you.
Donna Poulton, James Poulton, Vern Swanson, along with Mary Muir and Robert Davis. They're all co-authors of this new book, LeConte Stewart, Masterworks, published by Gibbs Smith. And if you'd like to join our conversation, 801-355-TALK is our number. If you're a former student of LeConte Stewart, or a collector, or just an admirer, 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255. Donna, I'll start with you. You write that LeConte Stewart is considered Utah's most important landscape painter. Why?
You know, he painted for nearly 90 years. He grew up in Utah. He has a huge oeuvre of work. He was devoted to the landscape. He was devoted to the farmers. He was actually devoted to this 80-mile stretch along the Wasatch Front, where he went out every day and did his plein air work. A lot of artists today, for example, will go out and do a study and then go back to the studio and create a major painting. But LeConte Stewart not only painted his studies outdoors, he actually painted many of his major easel pieces outdoors. And he really painted out the region. And I think if we look at who the important artists are in Utah, Mahone Rye Young as a sculptor, or Cyrus Dallin, those two were important American artists who were sculptors. Our most important painter is LeConte Stewart.
Mm. Jim Poulton, as Donna mentioned, he really focused on the land, but interestingly, not on Utah's dramatic red rock, where so many artists are drawn to that. Instead, he set his sights on this quiet farmland in northern Utah, the vistas of Weber and Davis and Morgan counties. What caught his eye about that particular landscape, do you think?
It's interesting. I think it was the serenity of the landscape. Many of his paintings, many of the landscape paintings, are long-distance perspectives with maybe a farmhouse or a ranch house in the foreground, but a hillside in the background that is sort of like a caressing hillside. It lends a quality of peacefulness or of things in their place. Mm. And I think he was really drawn to that.
Vern Swanson, you note that LeConte Stewart's mother died when he was 12. You note that the death of his father also made a real impression on him and on his outlook and on his art. Can you tell us what happened there?
Well, you know, anytime you have the death of a loved one close to you, I don't think that the death of his father was quite as instrumental in his art as the death of his mother, which happened when he was much younger, and he was slightly separated from his father because of his stepmother. However, LeConte was bereft of his family, siblings and parents fairly early in his life, and needed to find a refuge, which an uncle was thankfully able to give him in Salt Lake City. But was an artist who pretty much had to make it on his own without the family structure to support him. And so his work, I think Jim Poulton has wonderfully noted how there's a certain isolation in his work, and you begin the segment by saying, LeConte Stewart, artist of isolation. But I also think that Jim hit it just on the nail when he said, artist of serenity. And the vast majority of his works show the beautiful meditative quality of the Utah agrarian landscape. And so the loss of family was a major part of his ethos, the pathos that he showed in his work. And so I think that he was able to, in some ways, overcome that, in some ways, embrace that.
Mm. Speaking with Vern Swanson, director of the Springville Museum of Art, also with us in studio, Donna Poulton, curator at the Utah Museum of Fine Arts, and Dr. Jim Poulton, a psychologist in private practice. All three are among the co-authors of a new volume, LeConte Stewart Masterworks, and you can find links to that on our website, kcpw.org. If you'd like to join our conversation, we're talking about LeConte Stewart, who had a tremendous footprint here in the artistic community in Utah. 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. Donna, you quote someone in your essay on LeConte Stewart saying that he painted the raw side of life. Mm-hmm. And while he was a teacher in Ogden, some found his work subversive.
Right.
It's interesting. You don't typically think of a landscape, farmland, open spaces as subversive. Can you tell us about that episode in his painting career?
Yeah. You know, during the Depression, he was painting work that had more isolation to it. For example, The Green Front is a painting where it is the front of a store. It looks very isolated. It looks closed. It looks like a victim of the Depression, when in fact he was such an introspective person. He really liked to paint when no one was around. So originally, when we wrote the label for that, we thought, oh, well, this store was a victim of the Depression, when in fact we researched it, we found out it was a going concern. So he went out and painted this early in the morning or late at night when no one was around. And so he liked to paint those kinds of things, empty factories, empty houses. But he did also paint, for example, Home Loan, a boarded up house that was a victim of repossession by the bank. He painted hobos on a train going through town. He painted a Toehold, which I think is a masterpiece, his work. A home that couldn't quite be finished, so they were living in the basement and just put a roof on the top. It wasn't finished. So apparently people...
Was he overtly political, do you think?
No, he never seemed to be. But people in Ogden, especially in the Ogden school system where he taught at the time, felt that these particular paintings were subversive and that he should be fired for it. And I feel that, to be fired during the height of the Depression when you have a family to feed is a very terrifying thing. And I think after that, he quit painting those paintings. There are a number of reasons he quit painting those paintings. One was he had a new job at the university, and the decade had kind of played itself out. I do believe, however, that if he had had a choice in life and these charges hadn't been brought against him, I think he would have continued to paint in the same way Hopper painted for the rest of his life. So not just quitting at the Depression, but going on with these kinds of images.
Mm. Jim, would you agree?
Yeah, I would. The Depression became a sort of focal point for LeConte Stewart. The imagery from the Depression matched his personal psychology. And it fascinated him, and he wanted to explore, as he said, the raw side of life, the muck, he said, of life. So those images were really sort of near and dear to his heart, and I think they were, because of that, they were seen as subversive, because he wanted to explore the ugly underbelly of what had happened during the Depression.
Mm. Vern Swanson, in your essay, you note that LeConte Stewart spent his life teaching rather than focusing on his painting, and you write that that is perhaps the greatest tragedy of his career. Why do you see teaching as opposed to focusing on the painting as a tragedy?
Teaching is not a travesty for everybody else. It's a blessing, and that certainly was a blessing for Utah art in one respect, but that he maintained a teaching career throughout his life until retirement time at the age of 65, when his best years were past him. Wouldn't we have loved to have seen more paintings, maybe larger paintings, more considered works, rather than him going out on Saturday or after school and doing his work? The hours that you're in the classroom are really the best part of the day, where you're the most energetic and you can do your best work, rather than after a hard day you go out into the fields and you paint a painting or maybe try to catch a Saturday when you have a full family and you should maybe do something with the family as well. So with all these concerns, dealing with LeConte Stewart as a practicing painter rather than the other artistic considerations that he offered to the community, artistic community of Utah, what would have happened? Would he have been able to operate on a maybe more national level if he had spent the best hours of the day doing his artwork rather than teaching other people how to do it? Well, so and that's a tragedy because he was so good. Being the best painter, you would like to see him do the best paintings and more of them. Not to say he wasn't prolific. He really was.
But it was in the spare moments of his life. We've only got about 30 seconds left, and I guess, Donna, I'll ask you quickly, because you mentioned he painted every day, well into his 90s. I mean, what do you see as the legacy for today's landscape artists here in Utah? 30 seconds.
Yeah, I would say learn in some way the way LeConte did. I mean, he read a lot. He took a lot of classes. John Carlson was his inspiration. Every good artist that I know has John Carlson's book on his shelf. Go out and paint. Spend the time outdoors sketching. LeConte Stewart did 4 and 5 sketches a day before he actually painted the painting. Look at the shadows, spend the time, get the feeling of the outdoors. A lot of people now are painting from pictures, and it's really pretty obvious. And I think to do the work he did was exceptional in the heart of winter, just to spend that time outdoors.
Dr. Donna Poulton, Dr. James Poulton, and Dr. Vern Swanson, thank you all very much for the time. I appreciate it. The book is LeConte Stewart, Masterworks, and we'll have links on our website, kcpw.org. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce.